Well, hello everyone. I'm back. And it is... Wait, has Valentine's Day already passed by the time this is out? I think it is. But anyways, I hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful Valentine's Day. But who cares? I don't. So let's go. What's up? Welcome to one last episode where we talk about all things Asian dramas. Not real dramas. Not real drama, but TV show dramas. My name is Myra, and today's episode we're going to be talking about my number one drama of 2021 that I've finally been able to finish and talk about, and oh my gosh, I'm in love with The King's Affection. I mean, that one, chef's kiss. I'm ready for it. But before we continue, please don't forget to subscribe and continue following us on all podcast slash radio platforms that you can listen to us. And make sure that in following us and subscribing or following us, that will catch many more audiences. Support us by giving us the best rating possible with some positive feedbacks and comments. Lots of comments for us to be able to get some feedback as well as more dramas to talk about. And follow us along on social media. Send us some, again, social media will allow us to connect with y'all and sending us some opinions about the dramas that y'all are watching. So I'm ready for it. I think it's time to continue with the show. So let's get started, because I'm ready to talk about a lot about The King's Affection, because I have a lot to say. I have it written down, I have it typed down, and I have a lot to think about. So let's go. Okay, we're starting. So my voice may sound a little like, I guess, when you just barely wake up, because I kind of, well, not really, I didn't just wake up, like, I've been awake for a couple hours, just, you know, being in my room. Freaking TikTok is bad. But how is everybody doing today? I believe when this one comes out, I believe Valentine's Day has passed. So I hope you all had a wonderful Valentine's Day. I don't celebrate it because I don't feel like there's a need to. Then again, I've never had a significant other during the filming of, or during the time that Valentine's always comes and goes. But have you guys ever been, well, okay, let me rephrase that. What is one memorable Valentine's Day gift that you've been given by a significant other, or just by somebody, or just even by a friend, and was it a good memory, or was it just something that you've cherished? Again, I've never had a significant other during Valentine's Day for my entire life. That's saying something, right? But I remember when I was in high school, in my algebra class, I was a junior because I had done all my math during my senior year. For my senior year. And I remember I was in class. No, I was a senior, I think. I can't remember. Junior or senior year. And in this algebra class, you were kind of in a... you were grouped with other people. So I guess it was just kind of like to help you with your work. And surprisingly, I got along with the three people around me. And it was us three girls and then a guy. And he was a sophomore. He was like just a year younger than us. So a sophomore or junior, I think. And he was so sweet. And he got along so well with us that I wasn't expecting anything of it. But two of us girls came to class that day. And he comes in with this big duffel bag. And I was like, what is this? Not thinking anything of it because he was in football. And then, like, just towards the end of class, he's like, oh, I have something for you guys. And I remember he pulled out a box of chocolates and teddy bears with, like, I love you on all of them. It was the most sweetest, most kindest thing that I've ever received by someone that I didn't really know much of. It was so adorable, and honestly, it made my day that day, honestly, because I never really had received a gift from a guy, so that was very precious. And that's like the only thing I've ever received. I'm so lame. I think that's why I really despise Valentine's Day. I have no, like, I don't really care much for it. Like, there was somebody that said that you can express love every single day. Why is it supposed to be Valentine's Day where you express it more? Like, you do it all the time. Like, there's your anniversaries, there's holidays, you know, obviously Valentine's Day is one of them, but I feel like it's just, it's not necessary. But you know, everybody to each their own. If you love Valentine's Day, good for you. You know, we all have our favorite holidays. For the past few years, I celebrate Valentine's Day, so all my girlfriends, because a lot of the times we're all single. And we've done some very, really fun moments. You know, we go out and eat, we do some activities, we gift each other silly Valentine's Day gifts. So yeah, I mean, nothing too exciting. So I hope that you all had a wonderful, and I mean wonderful, Valentine's Day. I don't have anything going on, I guess. I think by the time because I'm recording this way ahead of time, but there is an activity that I'll be doing the weekend before this is filmed. We're gonna go to this bar, and it's like a very, very, like, this is super 18 and up, so I apologize. It is gonna be about, like, there's drag queens, which we all love and adore. I love going to drag queen shows. They are so extra, they're so energetic. They're just, I aspire to have that confidence level. I aspire to be extra. And I'm not saying extra in a bad way. Extra in a, you know, they give zero fucks. And I love that attitude, that positive attitude, that, excuse me, honey, you better back the fuck up type of attitude. Like, don't be talking to me like that type of thing. I just love them. Sassy, basically. And so I'm excited to be seeing them. But this bar that we're going to, it is definitely 21 and up, actually. If you live in America, that's how it works. It's they serve food, and the food is shaped like a man's ... let's just leave it at that. And I'm excited because, come on, I mean, it's the image is there. So if y'all want, I'm gonna definitely show a little sneak peek of that, because yeah. But other than that, I don't have anything going on. Still going to school, you know, working on a little stuff, trying to get my podcast in place. But honestly, I haven't been watching a lot of dramas. I feel like what has happened in the past month of January is that December, we have all these dramas ending, and then January is this sort of black hole. Like, there's not a lot of dramas starting, and I've been really keeping track of what dramas to watch, and I am currently watching Our Beloved Summer, even though it ended like a while ago. But I say that because when I watched The King's Affection, which, by the way, I'll be reviewing shortly, I watched it with a couple of friends, actually. So we would kind of message each other and be like, hey, what episode are you on? Did you see this? And we just kind of give our perspective. And then we got together for the last two episodes to kind of, you know, end it together on a good note, right? And so after the drama ended, we were trying to consider what other dramas to watch. And again, we're only looking for happy endings or just good romantic stuff, because we all tend to have a very different style of dramas that we like. I feel like one of them likes more historical dramas, even though there's always these moments of very predictable moments, versus I like romantic stuff, again, very predictable. My other friend, they didn't really say like what they particularly like in a way, but I think they mentioned romance as well. Nevertheless, I don't just stick with romance. I also like a little bit of thriller, a little bit of action. I mean, I saw My Name. I saw a little bit of Squid Game, but that's a little bit different. Squid Game, which again, I will probably be mentioning it a lot for a couple of episodes until I'm kind of done with it. That type of thrill, even though it was more of anxiety on the edge of my seat, biting my nails, I hate life type of thing. I liked some of the moments in the drama. So, like, my name, there's happiness, you know. So, like, just something different, you know. I even like a little bit of fantasy. So, kind of like Doom at Your Service, where he's basically, what was he again? I can't remember. But, you know, it's a fantasy. There's also Korean Odyssey. There's also Hotel de Luna. So, I like that type of stuff. Maybe a little bit of romance in there, but you know, it's not visible. It's like happiness, where romance is somewhat there, but it's not super visible. So I like a little bit of everything. Again, just not, I don't steer a lot on other dramas, you know. Like, historically speaking, I love them because they're so beautiful, but a lot of the times, for me, predictably, what I don't like is that there's always some political issue. And I try to steer away from those type of dramas because they irk me so badly. I genuinely want to just, like, go back in time and be like, F you, like, that's not how it should be, you know, politically speaking. Because I'm always just kind of, like, thinking, oh, you know, independence, this and this, it's not fair. Like, it's just, I oppose to what's going on. And I kind of lean towards whoever is on the good side or the winning side of the drama. Or the leads, because it's always the female or the male leads. I'm always trying to, you know, going for them, but it's like, all these things, right? All these things happen, which is kind of like the King's Affection, may I add. That's kind of why I steer away from them. And then also the idea of kings dramas with kings, with it, but what I mean by that is that there's always concubines and queens involved, and I don't like that. I don't like the fact that there's always going to be other women involved, and that's a little disappointing. But again, I can't say that it's disappointing, because history is history, and I can't say that it's not just Korea. It's all over the world where, you know, presidents and kings and whoever ruled at the time, there was always other women involved. And that's what I hate, is that I hate that they treated women like possessions versus human beings, you know, possessions that bared children for these men. So it's so disappointing that that's what history is. And I think that's why I kind of steer away from some historical dramas, because I see vividly all these things and I'm trying to accept it. And I think that happened with me in watching The Red Sleeve Cuff and The King's Affection. But I don't know, we'll see what happens with other dramas, historical dramas. I saw one with, I briefly, I haven't actually finished watching it, or haven't even really started watching it. It's the one with Ok Taekyeon, and I can't remember her name, but she was in My Extraordinary, or Extraordinary You with Ruon, which is actually the male lead of the current drama that I'll be reviewing shortly. And they're not in any means in royalty, which I was really intrigued by, but The Red Sleeve Cuff totally, like, took in that spot for the drama. So maybe I'll watch that one, because I like the idea that they're not royalty. So there's that. Like, I like that they're not royalty, so I like the historical aspect of characters where there's no royalty involved. So there's that one. And then there's another one with the guy from I'm Not a Robot, the guy from Memorist. I can't remember his name. He's so handsome. He's so dark. And then it's with Heidi. I can't remember her name. She is also from, she's an idol turned actress. She's, like, most notably known for Reply 1988. So they have a drama, but I can't remember if he's a prince, because I think he's wearing the prince's robe, the blue, like, hanbok. Oh, not robe, sorry. The hanbok, the blue robe, or hanbok, sorry. Oh my goodness. So I'm curious about that one. But I don't think he is, or possibly, who knows. But again, we'll see. Again, I again, with historical depictions with king royalty involved, that's where I'm a little iffy about, because I just become so irked with the idea that, you know, women are just not treated respectfully. They're treated like items, and I hate that. So, but again, these dramas changed my perspective. I haven't really seen a drama, historically speaking, from beginning to end. I'll be very, very honest. I think I've seen one, and that was with Pakbogam. That was from 2017. I tried watching other ones, but I was very, again, hesitant because of the concubines, the queens, da 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 da. And so I saw in a different light the idea of it because of Red Sleeve Cove. And I think that made me really like, that's what history is. I cannot change that. It's always going to happen. And it's not just in South Korea. It's all over the world. There was always some type of other women involved within royalty, within presidential beings. Like, and I hate that. I think because I romanticize relationships so much that for me, it's like, it's only one man and one woman, or, you know, man and a man, or woman and woman, or whoever you may love. You know, it's always one human with another human, point blank. I'm not saying that there should be one human and multiple humans. No, it should be one human and one human, unless you are this person that's super open with relationships. Both of you are, I should say, then go for it, as it should be. But I romanticize relationships where it should just be one significant other with your significant other. No matter who you are or where you come from, it should always be like that, right? I just romanticize shit too much. I'm so bad. But anyways, I think that's what bugs me about the historical dramas, is that there's the queens and the concubines, and there's not really a direct romance with one person. Like, what the French toast? I said my thoughts. This is all just me again. Please do not take it badly. Don't be offended. Like, I just really do think that's how romance should be. Just, you know, one person should have your own person, no matter who they are. But like, bruh, history sucks. History, I mean, history is amazing. You know, we hear all these things, but it sucks to hear the true history of things and how it wasn't very fair for us women. Ugh, I'm not like, oh my god, feminism, but I do have this, like, you know, you should women are equal. So back the fuck up, people. You don't even know what goes inside our bodies. Okay, enough said. I'm done. Let's start with the review with today's episode. That will be The King's Affection. I'm excited to be talking about this one because it is my number one of 2021, and I finally get to review it. Sadly, I didn't get to review this with my friends. I actually wanted to do the review with them because it would have been fun to kind of add their perspective, but we don't live in the same city. We live about, for me to them, I'm 30 minutes away. Lesser, maybe 20 minutes, but it's still a bit of a drive. So we're just gonna stick with me reviewing this and hopefully adding their perspectives. Yeah. Let's get started. I swear to God, these historical dramas have me talking like no other. Of the last previous episode, if you have not heard it, I literally go on a freaking 20-minute rant on the fact that that's a real historical depiction of a real king. So now I'm here talking about, you know, the whole concubine and thing situation. I really hope I don't get canceled for that, because, again, that's just history. It's gonna do that, unfortunately. And I'm trying to kind of keep that, accept it, you know. So I hope I don't get canceled. History is bad. Like, that's, I'm just talking about history outside of this, out of the States. Like, history in America is fucked up like no other. It's amazing to hear the stories, and it's just so sad to hear them and know that they were real and people are horrible. Like, it's just horrible. Anyways, let's try to think positively. We're going to talk about, finally, The King's Affection, which I'm super excited about because, again, this was one of my absolute favorite dramas of 2021. Again, I think, honestly speaking, if I would not have known that The Red Sleeve Cuff was a true story and I would have not known that The Red Sleeve Cuff truly had, actually, I think it would still be my number two because of the fact that the romance, it almost felt forced. And you knew from the beginning the character, the female character, was very, like, I don't want to, but I want to. She was fighting with her inner self. Versus The King's Affection, it's a novel. So that a little bit of a spoiler there. It's a novel. And so it's not, and you know what? Let me backtrack a bit. Let me introduce you guys to The King's Affection before I actually go in and talk about my point of this drama, because I kind of have a lot to say. And not compare and contrast, but just give a comparison to novel versus true story. So backtrack a bit. So again, The King's Affection. Yeonmo, I think that's how you say it. Korean. And it is a KBS 2 network drama. It is a 20 episode drama. Also, like The Red Sleeve Cuff, it was given 2 more episodes. I believe it was supposed to be 18, I think, but I'm not quite certain. And so this drama is like, I feel like it's got a little bit of humor in there, but not too much. It is definitely a drama thriller. What else did I write? Because I can't remember. I'm just going for it. Oh, that's wrong drama. Yes, and it is available on Netflix or any other type of downloading streaming platform that you dare watch. Just saying. I'm an adult who needs to save her computer from going crazy. So, but yeah, so it's available on Netflix, and it's about an hour per episode, a little bit longer depending on the conflict of the episode. Or conflict at the moment, the plot of the episode. Let's go with the plot synopsis. I think I already read this a while ago in my top 10. And then, like, I talked about it briefly in another episode. But I didn't actually talk about it. So here we go. The crown prince's wife gave birth to twins. But twins were considered an ominous sign. The twin daughter was supposed to be killed, but her mother begged to save her life. Secretly, the twin daughter is sent out of the palace. A few years later, the twin son, Li Hui, is killed. The crown prince's wife hides her twin son's death and brings her twin daughter back to the palace and raises her as Prince Li Hui. Li Hui eventually becomes a crown prince, but is afraid her real identity will be revealed. Because of her secret, Li Hui is unable to have anyone close to her. She hides her emotions from others and she makes biting remarks. Dong Ji-un is Li Hui's teacher. Dong Ji-un comes from a noble family. He's handsome, smart, and optimist, who enjoys life. Crown Prince Li Hui develops feelings for Dong Ji-un. So, again, I'll probably go into depth about it, but that's kind of, so let's see here. So the twin daughter does leave the palace, obviously, but she comes back as a court maid. And so, without nobody realizing, she, because I think the palaces are so big that the king section, the queen section, and the prince section, each, like, the court maids and workers are always separate. So obviously the twin daughter didn't really know that she looked like the prince or whatever, but the prince finds out that they look so much alike by one of his eunuch. I think that's how you pronounce him. I guess his butler, to put it in English terms. He finds out that they look so much alike, and then the prince kind of, you know, convinces the his sister, without them knowing that they're siblings, to switch places because he wants to kind of explore his town. He wants to explore, you know, kind of feel free for a moment. And escape the palace and escape his grandfather of all people. Yeah, the grandfather, maternal grandfather. It just kind of started happening quite often. And then, a little bit of a spoiler, Tong Ti-un's father finds out about the fact that she's still alive. And so he's kind of on this hunt to kill her per the maternal grandfather's orders. Not knowing that who he kills the twin daughter. Or who he kills the prince in the twin daughter's clothes, because he goes out pretending to be a girl. Like, he doesn't go out pretending to be himself. He goes out pretending to be a girl. And so that's kind of what happens. And so the twin daughter then is kind of forced to take her brother's place. And then Dong Ti-un comes into play with the fact that he's just a tutor. Like, he goes in working in the palace. And so if we kind of do flashbacks, when she was still a maid and wasn't still acting as her brother, she found this boy that she fell in love with, you know, because love at first sight, your first crush, or your first love, I mean, his first crush. And so it was actually Dong Ti-un. And so they have their moments, they're meant to meet, and so blah, 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 blah. He is then told that she passes away, and so he kind of always has her in his heart, but forgets about it at the end. And so he starts working for the prince, which is actually her, and he starts to kind of, let's leave it at that. I have a lot to say with that, but let's introduce the cast before I get carried away. So we have Park Eun-bin, and she is, of course, the prince, Lee Hui. And some of the dramas that I, by the way, I love her. Just like the, I keep comparing it. I was watching them back to back, so it crosses my mind a lot. But, she's one of my absolute favorite actresses as well. I love the, how she's able to portray characters so well. Like, she's very diverse with the characters. Like, some of the dramas that I've seen her in is obviously Kings of Action. Do you like Brahms? I haven't seen that one yet, but she's very different from the Kings of Action, I feel like. I saw her in Hello My 20s, and yo, Hello My 20s 1 and 2, and she is completely 180 of what you're used to seeing in the Kings of Action. So she knows how to be an actress. Of course, she's also a child actress, like our actress from previous drama. So she has that talent. Some of the other dramas that she's been in that I've heard of that I haven't actually been able to watch is The Stove Leak, which I've heard is really good. The Ghost Detective and Judge vs. Judge. So you have to watch her. She's amazing. Ru-on is our male lead. He is, he portrays Tong Ji-un. Some of the dramas that he's been in is She Would Never Know, Was It Love, Find Me in Your Memory, and one very notably well-known that he blew up would be an Extraordinary You. I first saw him in About Time and then Where Stars Land, so. He's also an idol actor. He is in a band called SF9, and they're very, very handsome men, and Ru-on, I was trying not to, like, fall for him because he's very, like, oh, I'm handsome. Well, he's very humble about it, I feel like. He's very, very humble about it. But I've seen a lot of stage performances, and it's always him because he's so handsome, and he's always just mentioned about it. But I feel like he gets annoyed by that. And so I didn't like that. And so I was like, oh, he's too pretty, man. But then watching the drama, I was like, fuck him. Damn. So yeah. Some of the other leading cast members would be our fellow second lead male second lead would be Nam Yoon-soo, and he plays Lee Hyun. Some of the dramas that he's been in is Beyond Evil, Birth Care Center, and Extracurricular. He's a rookie, so this is definitely a start for him. He definitely blew up in this drama for sure. So our female second lead would be Bae Yoon-kyung. She was Shin So-un. And other dramas that she's been in is Undercover, Record of Youth, She Knows Everything, My Unfamiliar Family, Hi Bye Mama, Clean with Passion, Less Than Evil. And then we have our other second female lead. Third, I would say. Okay, we'll go back to that. Her name is Jung Tae-yoon. She is also an idol actress. Some of the dramas that she's been in would be My First Love 2 and 1, Marry Me Now, Into the World Again, and Drinking Solo. She's still a rookie when it comes to acting, I feel like. She hasn't been in a lot of dramas, but she's doing good. And then we have our beloved soldier. His name is Choi Byung-chan. He's also an idol actor. He's in a band called Victon. And he's kind of a rookie. He's been in Live On, The King's Affection, of course, and then another drama that's going to be airing this year, 2022, Business Proposal, which I'm excited about. He's so adorable, too. He's got such a very, very, very handsome smile. And then we have, I need to mention this person because I feel like he definitely became a bigger part towards the end of the drama, which unexpectedly I didn't think he would be the actor named Kim Taek, and he's Prince Won-sun. He is a rookie. This is his first ever drama. And also the maknae of the entire drama, not including the baby prince, which is the little brother. He's the maknae of this drama, but he plays a big part towards the end, and I was not expecting that. So, and then of course we have the grandfather, who's a complete ass. Period. Yoon Jae-moon, who's a king. His name in as a king. His name is Han Ki-jae. And then we have the father of the tutor, Dong Ji-yoon's father. His real name is Bae Soo-bin, and the actor or the character name is Jung Seok-jo. So there we have it. Now I have a lot to say because this drama, just like the Red Sleeve Cuff, was unexpectedly brilliant. So I think it's time to give my own perspective of this drama, because it's a lot to share. let's get started. Again, I'm so sorry if I keep comparing it to the Red Sleeve Cuff. Again, I was watching it back to back. Like, I would watch The King's Affection and then The Red Sleeve Cuff and then blah, 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 blah. So it almost mixed up with my head. And I think because it related to the fact that there was a grandfather king that always, like, had to step in and, like, freaking ruin everything. Political issues that are just out of this world. So before I kind of... Oh, okay. So with the synopsis. So the Jung Ji-eun, so Ruon's character, he's a tutor. He starts working in the palace. So a little spoiler from this point on. In the first episode, he runs into a woman, right? He doesn't know that it's a prince because she's obviously wearing men's clothing, but she's wearing clothing that are non-prince clothing. So, because a lot of the common things that are in historical dramas is that when they're a prince or a king, they always dress up in regular, I guess, civilian clothes, and they walk around their town to kind of look and see what needs to be fixed, or they just want to, what needs to be taken care of in the town as well as, or the village, as well as they just want to feel a little bit of freedom, you know? That's one good thing about being a male. There I go again, sorry. Let's backtrack and not go about that. But so she was doing that, but she wasn't necessarily doing the whole "I'm gonna walk around" type of thing. She was just shooting, I think they were chasing a deer or something. And one of her uncles, he like cuts part of her hair like band or whatever, and her hair gets loose, and she's her also her outfit, like her humbug, gets ripped off. And again, she's a woman at this, like, she's a woman already pretending to be her brother. So she bandages her breasts so where they're flattened. Guys, can you imagine having to go through that issue or that moment every single day, bandaging your breasts? I mean, I'm lucky enough to say that I don't have enough that I can wear a sports bra and that would cover a lot. Like, I would be, I'm not flat chested, but I'm fairly flat that I didn't have to go through that. But On Bean looks like the actress. She looks like she wasn't, she has enough breasts, let's put it that way. Where if they're band-aid, like, they need to be very band-aid, like, bandaged, sorry, to the point where you can't breathe. As a woman who wears sports bras, that enough is already, like, suffocating. Bra as it is suffocating. So wearing something like that, pretending to be a prince for the entirety of her life, can you just imagine having to do that? Like, what the actual, like, I'm not gonna lie, whenever we had the moments where we would see her just in the bandages, my mind would go back to how the fuck she's breathing. Like, how in the hell is she breathing? But anyways, I'm thinking, like, if it's a real thing, this is just a novel, this is not a real story, but my mind just, you know. So with that, he finds her, he helps her, and he's attracted to her. You know, she's beautiful with her long, gorgeous locks, and he's helping her out. He helps her out to escape being found out that she's a woman. So, you know, she finally leaves, he forgets about it, and then he meets the prince, right? And he kind of looks at her and he's like, you look familiar. And she's like, oh fuck, I'm screwed. Oh fuck, like, he knows. So eventually, you know, they start working together. He's a tutor, he helps her with her, you know, Korean, and he's helping her, and then this is where, like, you see a lot of clips where they're like, quote-unquote, gay panic, where, like, he's just so in love with him, and he's, at one point, he's willing to take that risk, not knowing that it's actually a woman. So it was just, oh my god, like, it would have been an awesome, like, BL story, I'm not gonna lie. It would have been brilliant, but I don't think that Vicky is doing perfect with the BL stories, it just, yeah. Anyway, so, where was I? I got so sidetracked. But yeah, so this is based on a novel, so this is not a true story. Not like Red Sleeve Cuff. So this one does actually have a wonderful, happy ending. It is very, much a novel, a fiction, because a lot of things happen. And I will go into depth a little bit about that, but, first and foremost, I gotta give it to y'all. Ruan, the actor, Jung Ji-un, the characters, the male lead, I'm very impressed. This is the first time that I've seen him take a lead role like this, because I've only seen him as a side character. You know, I never saw him in Extraordinary You. I didn't see him in the one with the lipstick one, Nuna something. What is it? She would never know, right? Yeah, she would never know, which is like, senior, don't put on that lipstick. So, Sunbae, well, we're not going to go for that. I didn't see him in that one. And I actually wanted to watch that drama, but I was a little apprehensive. And then I kind of started looking into spoilers, and they don't end up together. And I'm like, fuck, sorry, spoiler. I really got to stop doing that. And so I didn't really know how he was as an actor. Again, I've seen him in Where Stars Land and About Time as a side character, but never really actually, when I saw him in About Time, he was a little brother. And he was really adorable. I actually really liked him in that drama. I didn't know that at the time, because I did actually watch during the time that it was airing. I didn't know that it was his, like, second role, and I didn't know that he was in SF9. maybe I did, but I didn't really, it's been a minute. But anyways, watching him in here, I was a little apprehensive because I knew of him already at this point. He would come in my drama feeds because of Extraordinary You, right? And when I saw him, I was like, I don't know, I'm a little apprehensive. But because I knew that it was the actress Park Geun Bin, like, I was like, I need to watch it because it's my favorite actress. But when I finally saw him truly acting, I was impressed. Again, I may do like my favorite idol actors and why, and I may get like, I don't want to get canceled, but I have a lot of opinions when it comes to acting. I sound like I know how to act, but I'm very observant. I'm very, very observant. And there's a few idol actors that just, I feel like they play somewhat same characters, or they just don't have personality or emotion, versus this one. Like in Red Sleeve Cuff, we have the male lead who is also an idol actor. He was brilliant, and I already knew he was brilliant, but I was I was blown away by the talent, or the talent, the work that he created was amazing, right? And so I was kind of like, oh shoot, like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this. But when I saw the one, he was amazing. So I was talking with my friends when we saw this, and so typically the male lead is very like, very serious, very like, don't talk to me, like very stoic, very, I'm like a man, no emotion, sort of, and then they break character with the female lead, obviously. But I feel like it was the opposite for this one, because Park Geun Bin, the female lead, she was doing that, versus he was quirky, a klutz, happy-go-lucky, and I loved seeing that. I loved the opposites type of thing. And he was like that, and there was the goofy moments where he would crash, he would giggle, and he would just, there's a moment where he has a flower in his ear, and he sees her, and he's just like, oh my god, she's here, what do I do? But like, you know, him knowing that it's a guy. And then there was a moment in the drama where someone dies. I'm gonna spoil this so rotten. I'm sorry, I'm gonna spoil this. His father dies, and he finds him basically dying, you know, swords and everything, they're fighting, and his father got injured. He goes, runs to him, and I was a little like nervous when it comes to emotions, because again, crying in camera is really hard, right? And so for this one, I don't really know a lot of Rowan. I guess you can say I study idols very well. And like with Lee Joon-ho in the Red Sleeve Cuff, I've known about him for a while, and I saw a show, variety show, where we see that he has a nephew, versus Rowan, he's still a mystery for me. I'm still learning about SF9, don't you worry. When he sees his father, the way he grabs him, first of all, the way that he grabs him, and tears just start coming out. I'm just like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. And then he it's a cry that has so much emotion. I was, again, blown away by the talent. The way that he held his father at the end, that's where it hit the most. And I was crying at that point, because he held him, and it was so emotionally felt that I was like, this man is gonna go places. I hope that he can get character. I hope that he is versatile with his characters, and I'm hoping to see more of that, because he's really talented. And he blew me away with The King's Affection, and I'm actually very much wanting to see more of his dramas, just to kind of see if he's able to portray different kind of characters. So that's what I'm excited for. We'll see how that goes. For now, I applaud him for sure. He did a really good job. And what can I say about Park Geun-bin? She is just so beautiful. She's so talented, and I love the fact that she portrayed she was portraying a guy. Like, it's already kind of hard portraying a guy in the present times. Well, I mean, I feel like now it's more open to. No, I think the present time, like now, it's very different versus history. Like, you know, you have to be a man, and so she just did such a good job. And I think what really, I'm not probably gonna say a lot because I've seen a lot of her dramas, and I'm already in love with her as an actress. So I really can't say much versus Ruan. I had a lot to say because it was my first time watching him in a drama. Like with her, she already has that low voice. So it just kind of made things so much better for her to portray this character. So that's all I have to say about her. But, you know, I'm excited to see more of her dramas, I'll be honest. So can't say more because I have a lot to say. Okay, so if y'all didn't know, because I didn't know about this, about the whole twin thing, about it being ominous. So I guess I didn't, I looked it up in the first bit of the drama, and then eventually they mention it. I guess it's more ominous to have twins in royalty. Regular civilians, it's okay to have twins, but I guess in royalty, it's ominous, you know, bad things happen in the future. Sadly, no matter what they did, bad things still happen. So that was actually a really cool thing to hear. Not a cool thing, but just a very interesting fact because, or I guess theory, because, you know, it makes me wonder, in the past, did they ever have twins, and what did they ever do to the twins? So that's a mystery, right? Okay, so I basically shared that part right there. I guess a little bit of the idol actor, Choi Byung-chan, who is Kim Ga-eun, who's a soldier, who was supposed to go in to kill the prince, but then eventually, like, sides with the prince. So this is his second drama. And he's also an idol actor. I don't really know much of the band that he's in, but he seems like they're really talented guys. We saw a music video of theirs, and they're really good, and he's good. He's really good. As an actor, I can't really say how good of an actor he is because he didn't really have a lot of lines. He didn't really have a lot to show in the drama. Like, he was probably there at most for like 6 whole episodes, if that. So I can't really say, oh, he's amazing, right? So I'm definitely really excited to watch Business Proposal, which he's going to be a part of in the cast. I don't know when it's going to air, but I think it was going to start airing in February. So we'll kind of go from there and see how he does. But I can't really say, like, he was really good no matter what. Like, he portrayed a soldier. So a soldier that, a private soldier and then like a real soldier. And so I feel like he did a really good job, but I can't really say much because he didn't have enough lines to share. He didn't really have a lot of character development because at the end of the day, like, we didn't really, he wasn't the main character. But at the end of the very end of the drama, we see him smile, and that's something. Well, actually, no. So it was a scene where Ruan's character, the tutor, he's hella drunk with the prince, and then the cousin, which is Ihyun, and then of course the soldier, Gaon, and he's drunk. Ruan is drunk, and he's trying to hold the prince, he's trying to like touch hurt him, the prince, let's go with that, and the whole time Gon's like, nope, you're not, please don't do that, what are you doing, stop. Like, it was just so funny, very funny scene. So I mean, he had a character there, but other than that, I'm kind of excited to see what he has in store. I'm hoping to see more characters with more lines, so yeah. By the way, I hate her grandfather, period. I do. I hate him. as I do every grandfather in every historical drama, because they're complete assholes. Okay, so the fact that, okay, another spoiler. I was very amazed that her father knew for a while that she was a woman, and that he knew that her brother was dead. He knew that who she was, basically. What's so sad about it is that he did everything to protect her, for sure. Okay, just making sure. So I had to do like the same thing that I did with the red sleeve cuff, where for a few hours I had to stop recording because there was people in the house. Now my parents are not home, thankfully, so they won't really bother with the sound. Well, they won't bother me with the sound, whereas my brothers are in their own little, you know, world right now. But where had I ended up with a little bit of her father knowing. And like, I think that he knew this whole time. Well, not for a long period, but he knew for a bit. And then once people start to, like, when her secret starts to unravel, her father's trying to find a way to protect her. And so the only way to do it is by her, like, leaving the palace with her. Oh, goodness, please don't start barking. With her basically making a life for herself. And so he kind of tells her that, you know, I'm not gonna tell anybody, I'm not gonna, you know, kill you, because that's a triggering word, but that's something that he says, like, I will protect you, and that means I want you to leave the palace and I never want to see you again, again, to protect her. And at first, like, when he said it by words, I was like, dude, like, I kind of don't like him. And then eventually he's like, like, he gives her address and he kind of writes her a letter, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And so that was the plan, like, for her to do that. She was gonna go for it. She was gonna make a life with Tutor Jung. You know, it was gonna be good. But then her grandfather, I think, or one of the palace, like, workers there that works with her grandfather, basically do something to where her dad dies, unfortunately. And so she then has to step in. Again, a reminder, her grandfather is maternal grandfather, so he's not paternal, meaning he's not part of the royal court. He just somehow makes decisions because he's part of the, like, if we're talking the workers scenario, he's kind of in, like, in the uppers. He kind of holds a lot of power, I guess. He doesn't hold the king, like, the king's power, but he holds power. And so unfortunately this kind of takes turns for her into having to be king. You know, she already had the initial plan of being free and escaping, even though she didn't know who she is. And that's another thing that was so sad about this, is that because she knew she was who she was up until the age of, like, between 10 and 12, and then from then on she had to take her brother's life. She doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know the kind of person that she can be. She doesn't know what she likes. She doesn't know anything. She doesn't even know how to be a woman. And that was the most saddest thing ever. And it, like, broke me. It was so sad. Like, I was just like, dude, that would really suck to kind of have that sort of lifestyle and then figure out who you are and not know what to do because you don't know who to be or how to be. And I think that's what I really liked about the drama, is that, you know, identity was something that she was basically struggling with. And I think I kind of had that similar situation, but not necessarily in, like, being, you know, a female. It's more of cultural, but just kind of going back to it, I just felt like I was able to relate in an aspect to a T, not too much. But nevertheless, it was such a sad moment for her to kind of be like, I don't know who I am. And there's moments just right before she has to become king. She, like, you know, goes on a walk out into town and she starts to see all these women's accessories. And you know that she, like, she yearns to have that beautiful like accessory. She yearns to feel beautiful, to be pretty, to be a woman. But obviously, again, she had taken her in her brother's life, and that she lost who she is. She lost who she was. And it was such a, I don't know, I really just like that part of the drama, is that we kind of get to see the growth of her character. And I really felt that for sure. So again, I kind of hated her dad, but then at one point I kind of realized that he was doing everything he can to protect her. And yeah, we're gonna probably hold grudge on him, freak. But at the end of the day, he was a good dad, I guess. I wouldn't say the best, but he was a good dad. I had to cut it again because my brother started to talk. Those bastards. Sorry, that's language. Okay, so I think I ended it with her father and stuff. So I was gonna start off with Tutor Jung's father. So Ruwan, or the male lead's father. So you first learn who he is. Like, he works for her maternal grandfather, meaning he's a bad guy, obviously. But then, you know, like, we kind of start to see that he's truly is a bad guy. He will do anything to basically, you know, fulfill the maternal grandfather's wishes. With that, just right before Tutor Jung and his father become distant from each other, he kills a court maid. She was a young teenager, and he witnessed him doing that. Ever since then, they were very distant. Like, he just couldn't forgive his father for what he did. So eventually, you know, we learned that he really is a bad guy. And then towards the middle to the end of the drama, there is a scene where one of his very closest of friends, he dies, he gets killed. And it's almost like that moment became a like realization for him that every person that he cares for and loves is gonna die no matter what. And so you eventually start to see how much he starts to protect Tutor Jung and his family, so they won't get killed, you know. And also towards the end, to me, and one of my friends that watched it with me as well, we were both talking about it, and how at first we were just like, I fucking hate you, like, dude, you needed to go to hell. But then you kind of start to understand the reason behind what he did, sort of, in a way. And then eventually he starts to grow on you. And because of the fact that not only is he protecting his son, to which he wasn't really doing much of until he started to get involved with the prince. And then after kind of seeing the truth to everything. And then like literally the last two episodes, you get to see that he protects the prince, says the prince. Or I guess the king. Or I guess to use the better term, Yi Hui, which is Park Eun Bin's character, the female lead. He starts to protect her. And, you know, she was willing to do what needs to be done. That is, you know, getting rid of him, basically. Using the proper terms without, you know, triggering anybody. Because no matter what, she couldn't forgive him. Like, he literally had done everything to kill her. And along the way, he's done that by, you know, taking away her brother, her parents, and her freedom. And it was just definitely, like, I see where she's coming from. But also, like, you kind of start to regain that, like, not regain, I don't want to say trust or respect for him, you kind of start to feel sorry for him. Maybe a little bit of pity, but mostly sorry. And so you kind of just decide to like him. especially the part where, you know, he dies, and the way that Tutor Jung is reacting to it. And it was so sad. So I think there are like characters where you were surprised become evil versus ones that are villain, that look good, become extremely villain, to villain, from villain to being good, or being misunderstood. There we go. That's the right term. Being misunderstood, because that's what it was. I thought somebody was coming, but I guess not. So he was just misunderstood. And obviously, it wasn't a lot, but it was still something where we were kind of like, damn, like, maybe he was always a good guy and he was just sort of manipulated in a way where he needed to do the things that he needed to do to survive, you know, to live. So coming from someone who was a villain to being the misunderstood character to someone who seemed like a misunderstood or seemed like a character that had no importance to the drama to being the most villain of them all. And that's the cousin. This one shook me. So this is Ihyeon's brother. And I mentioned him for a bit. I did. I remember that. I just forgot his name. But I want to be able to, like, say his name so I, you know, y'all listeners know what I'm talking about. So I'm talking about the most surprising character of them all was Prince Won-san, who is the brother, older brother of Ihyeon, or Lee Hyun, to make it easier to understand. He's the older brother of it. And like I said before, he is the magnetism. But he was probably the most shocking character of them all, because to me, I felt like he was just a character that had no, he wasn't really an important character. Or it was just a character that was kind of there to add more to the drama, if that makes sense. Like secondary roles, third, just extras, to put it in I guess. Yeah, that. I honestly kind of didn't really think of him to be of an important character until like we hit the middle of the drama where we start to see that, you know, of something where he was involved in, where, again, spoiler, the uncle that you also freaking hate with passion, he was in the drama. He's the uncle named Prince Tang-un, and again, he's the uncle of all of them. So Ihyeon, Ihui, and then Prince Won-san. And so you think that I thought it was the uncle that was going to be the one that was like the bad guy, working with the maternal grandfather, but it was completely wrong. Then he fakes his death. Again, I was also shocked to find out about that. But then he kind of, you know, comes back and turns out that he's been working with his nephew, Prince Won-san, and come to find out that he's been working on this to get rid of the prince, Ihui, to later on take over the palace, take over to be the king, the next king. I was beyond shocked because he was heavily involved, and the more we got to see it, and I was just like, holy fuck, we're screwed. What's gonna happen? You know, I'm thinking the worst because he's like unraveling all these secrets. He's unraveling her secret more than anything, and he's just trying to find a way to get rid of them. I mean, by her, the people around her, just everyone. It was a shocker to me, I'm not gonna lie. It was a complete shock, but you know, at the end of the day, he was gone. Peace out, mother trucker. He deserved it. I was like, yes! I think I was doing that. And my friends listening to this, how did I react? Because I can't remember, but I think we were content with the idea. So that was definitely a turn of events within the drama that I was just completely like, wow. Shocker, I almost fell off my chair. But then the other kind of transitioning to villains to now secondary roles. Secondary love triangles, whatever you want to call it. So I also like that it wasn't a heavy, like, oh, you know, like the second lead is gonna do anything in their power to really get to the leads. So for the male lead, his secondary romantic interest, I like the fact that we knew she was into him. It was very subtle. It was very like, oh, you know, I kind of like him. You can see it in her eyes. You can see the way that she was really into him and all, but she kind of knew that he wasn't interested. She kind of knew it from the beginning. And then once she kind of realized that, I think, if I can remember correctly, I think she does confess to him. And then he's like, you know what, I'm sorry, like, I like someone else, blah, 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 blah. And she decides to leave because, you know, I think she felt a bit embarrassed by it, but at the same time, it was, like, for the best for her. And I was like, okay, I like this already. I really like this. And then we find out that her cousin, well, okay, female lead now, her cousin, Ihyeon, which was very common for cousins to marry each other, I guess. I shouldn't say anything because that was also very common everywhere else. He always knew that she was a woman. He always knew that the prince was a woman from day one. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to tell you how it happens, but he knew. He found out and he knew. And he always loved her. And he thought he would probably end up with her. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. But he accepted it. And again, that was another way to handle the romance. And I really liked it so, so much so that I love the character as well. So I really like the secondary characters there. That they knew from the beginning that they weren't ever going to be able to do anything. Because at the end of the day, the people that they liked and or loved, liked and loved someone else. And so that's maturity for you. And then we have another. I feel like she's secondary, or like this is a freaking square, because we have Lee Hui, right? Which is a prince, but it's a female. But we're gonna go with prince, right? We already have Tuda Dong in love with her. She loves him. Then we have Lee Hyun, who is in love with her. She cares for him as a brother. And then we have the queen. yeah. Who also likes Ihui. And this is the new queen. And it's No Ha-kyung. She kind of, you know, goes in to see if she can become his wife. And so I guess she does. Not realizing that she's actually a woman. So it was just really interesting, right? Because I felt like Ihui, or I guess her real female name is Dami. She always wanted to tell her who she was, but she was afraid, as well as every person around her that she cared for. And so it was kind of like a lot, because it was kind of unexpected, but at the same time expected, because they had their moments, you know, like those K-drama moments where there's like the she falls into his arms, or they're about to kiss, or he touches her. There's some type of skinship going on, and there's like a 3-minute scene where it's like one side of the scene to another side of the scene to another side of the scene. That happened to them. So I can see why she fell in love with the prince. And it was kind of something that we needed to see. So I just, once Ihui, or I guess Dami told her who she was, she didn't react in the way that I anticipated. I thought she was going to freak out or something, but she reacted very maturely. And then at the very end of the drama, the last episode, she's just content. And so, kind of adding this all up, one of my, well, I guess like as a whole, like the three of us, the friends that I was watching the drama with and myself, we kind of like, we had a moment. I think it was, we were going from episode 19 to 20, and we were just kind of like, you know, getting ourselves prepared. We had a moment, we were like, how do they not react a certain way? Because of the BL romance, right? The boy love, like the boys love verse, boy lover romance, boy love romance. I'm like trying to find the right way to say it. Being that it's it was in the history, it was like in the history, in the past, being in the Joseon era, 18th century, I believe is what I said before. You know, and I'm not saying this just in Korea. This is all over the world. But, like, having someone that you love of the same sex was very wrongly seen, right? And if I'm not mistaken, from one of my friends said that if that was the case, you were triggering warning. You were like hurt. You were beheaded, I think. Like, there were some bad things happening. And so for them to kind of react so calm about it, I was like, for sure, this is a drama. This is a drama for sure. But I'm kind of glad that we kind of saw more of an okay thing rather than all these, you know, accusations of what could have been the true reaction. I mean, I'm kind of glad that we saw what we saw, but it would have been so sad to see the true reaction and what could have been. So I'm kind of glad that we didn't see that, because I would have been so, so disappointed. So I guess in that way, for a moment, we kind of just sat there and were like, yeah, like, don't they, you know, what could have happened? Like, in reality, if this was a true story, what could have actually happened? So it's just sort of like, it makes you wonder some of the historical things that we watch, like, we see them and we think, oh, you know, this could have happened. But in reality, we don't actually see the dark side. And I'm kind of glad that I didn't get to see the dark side, because I would have cried. So with that said, I guess that's just my own personal perspective of the reaction to their reactions about finding out who she was. And so, or before finding out she was, seeing that there's a possibility of BL romances going on. So, I think I said what I wanted to say. Let me just see what I got on my notes. But I think I said a lot more than I figured. I mean, I said here on my notes, fuck her maternal grams. which I will say it again, fuck him. But yeah, I don't really have much to say other than this is a must watch. It is a longer drama, 20 episodes, but it's worth the watch. It's worth the quirkiness of Ruwan, and it's worth the talented main leads, period, and just overall cast. They were so well they portrayed these characters so well that I'm just in awe with it, and I'm glad that they became close friends and they got such great chemistry, and I was very content with the drama. I was and am, and I was watching clips just right before I made the transition to another segment for this episode that I was like, oh, I'm dead. This is beautiful. So, yeah. So, again, I give this a 10 out of 10 because I love this drama so much. If you guys have seen it, let me know your thoughts, what you think. Obviously, not everybody's going to agree, but I think my friends and I can agree that this was a really great drama. Perfect happy ending. Their chemistry was chef's kiss. Like, oh my goodness. Like, the chemistry was more than just chef's kiss. It was wonderful, and I liked seeing their interviews and their freaking behind the scenes, and it was just worth the watch, period. So if you haven't, you must watch it. If you won't watch it, it's okay. I'm not gonna say anything. So with that said, I think that's all for today's The King's Affections review. Well, everyone, I hope you all enjoyed this episode, The King's Affections review. If you want to see more of this, or actually hear more about this, please follow us along, and we have more episodes. If you haven't checked out, we have our season one where we talk about previous dramas, and also kind of clips of any current dramas that Myra will be watching, or am watching. So if you want more, please check us out. Subscribe on wherever you can listen to on podcasts. Give us the best rating possible so that we can be heard by any other drama lovers. And if you want some of the feedbacks or any type of chatty stuff that you would want me to add, go ahead and follow us along on social media, which will be added on the episode description for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that I will be talking to you all real soon. Okay, bye. Bye.